Hi, everybody. Welcome to another podcast here on Forsyth Sports 365, featuring the South Forsyth War Eagle football program. I'm Greg Golden. We're glad to have you with us this morning, and we couldn't do it without a couple of key figures. Standing by at the field house, down on the corner of Ronald Reagan and Peachtree Parkway, my partner Doug Thomas. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing? I miss you again that you're remote, but you sound great. And we're here, yeah, for another Coach's Corner and the last one of the season. So it's kind of a little bit depressing there, but excited to have it.
Thank you for that, Doug. Again, and I'm glad that I have a voice so I can participate on this one. We couldn't do it. Also, of course, Coach's Corner has to have a coach. And Troy Morris, the head coach at South Forsyth High School, is with us this morning. Hello, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you with us as always, sir. And I want to stress something to you this morning. You know, you're talking to an Ohio State guy in Doug and a Michigan guy in me. But I want you to rest assured that we have not been engaged in any sign-stealing activities.
No, we have not.
Prior to this Coach's Corner. So I'd like you to know you can proceed with confidence, okay?
Well, at least we know my team has, and I don't know about his. So.
Yeah, appreciate that.
All right, Doug, you're standing by there with a couple of questions. I know you want to get started with Coach this morning. Go ahead and get us off the skid here.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that. And again, glad to be here on the Coach's Corner this week. Actually, the final one of the season, which is a little depressing, but we're glad to be able to be here to do it. And I want to talk about the game against West, but also about going into the game, because obviously heading into Thursday night, there was still a possibility of a playoff if you win the game on Friday. Can you talk a little about does the attitude change or the direction change or anything when you knew that Denmark took care of, you know, Forsyth Central and that was then eliminated South from the playoffs?
You know, going into it the way we prepare, definitely not mentally. Maybe it affected us a little bit as a team. I'm not sure. But just as far as our preparation, how we approach things, it didn't. Because I felt like when we came out, we were just a little bit flat in certain places, and that may have had an effect on it. I don't know, to be honest with you. Possibly.
Yeah. You know, when you look at when we talked about the Lambert game the week before, and it just was indicative of the season, how their first three drives started inside the 40. And then the same thing with this one, except this one, West's first two drives start inside the 30-yard line. And before you know it, it's 31-0 at half.
Yeah, I thought we started off. We moved the ball a little bit there to start the game off. We were running it pretty good. We got out. I can't remember what yard line we got out to, near midfield, I think. And then we missed a blocking assignment up front. The guy came through clean, stripped us from it, and gave them great field position. And then our defense held them to a field goal, which was hats off to our defense. And then the next drive, we had a couple drops, and then a bad punt, and just some things just didn't start off good again. You know, fell down 10-0, and then had some chances to make some plays. They dropped a punt down there, gave us great field position. So we were close and we just missed. In the first half, honestly, we just could not make a play and get in the end zone. Had some chances there and just didn't make it happen. So, unfortunately, yeah, they got some scores late right there at the end of the half and pulled away.
You know, in a game like that, when you go in, you know, it's 31-0 and, you know, it's the last game of the season. What do you talk about at halftime? Because the team actually came out and they played a lot stronger in the second half. I mean, if you break the halves down, you know, South did, but 13-7 in the second half. I mean, I know towards the end they might have played some other players and stuff, but really at halftime in a game like that, last game of the season, what do you say to the team?
Yeah, don't lay down. You know, the first half, I felt like we played hard. We just, like I said, we just didn't make some plays. So I told them in the second half, you know, don't lay down, keep fighting. Let's win this half. Let's play it like it's 0-0, come out, score, and stop them and see what happens. And just continue to fight until the last whistle blows. It says a lot about who you are. You've done it all season long. Just let's finish this season like that. Let's come out and take it a series at a time, a play at a time, and just play each one as hard as you can possibly play, and let's see what happens.
So a game like that, it's over. It gets done. You know, the scores, you know, end up obviously losing the ball game 31-13, correct? I think it's right. That sounds right. That's not right. Something like that. But anyway, so obviously seniors' last game, everything. What is the talk at the end of the game? I know you talked to them out on the field. I don't know if there's another talk right after or not. But, you know, when that's the last game of the season, what is your direction to them? Because, you know, there's seniors that are moving out, but there's also sophomores and juniors that are coming up that know that, hey, there's another season to happen.
Well, with the seniors, you know, we spoke to them. I spoke to them in front of the team after we got back, and just I was just proud of them. These guys have worked really hard. They've invested a lot into our program. I can't explain why some of the games went the way that they went, especially a lot of the ones early to mid-season that we'd lose by a possession or a play or whatever would happen. It just didn't seem to ever go our way. And thank them for the example they set for the younger kids that are coming up on how to handle adversity. This group has handled adversity about as well as you could handle it. They just they maintained their character, their integrity. They didn't point fingers. They kept working. They were fun to coach every single week, and that's the truth. I mean, just had the best attitudes in the world and just kept fighting. So I just bragged on them like crazy and thanked them for everything that they did. And they set a really good example as far as, you know, to our younger guys, when adversity hits, man, you just keep battling. Don't give in, don't give up, keep fighting. And our guys did that. The seniors did that.
You know, cause we've talked before, that's a tough thing on them too. I mean, these kids have been playing football since, you know, 5 years old. And you think about the parents too, and the drives and all the things that they've had to do. And, you know, most of them know that's their last time, you know, on a football field. So that's got to be, and it's pretty emotional for them.
Man, you don't know what that feels like until it happens to you. You can tell the kids about it. You can try to, you know, give them a heads up, warn them what it's like. But until it happens, it feels like nothing else in the world.
So then we move on. Obviously, the game's over. Everything, you've had your talk. Now, do you talk separately with the seniors too, or is that just within the group like that, which I think is very – the way you do that in front of the group and the rest of the team is a great way to do it.
Yeah, as a whole, you know, I do it that way in front of everybody so that they hear my feelings and what I think about them, and to know that how much I care about them and thank them and love them, and just appreciate all the hard work and those younger guys need to know, you know, what that much meant to us.
Doug, Coach, I want to take just a second here. We're talking about the seniors. I want to congratulate the senior class for the moxie they showed throughout the season. No, it didn't turn out the wins and losses the way they wanted it to, but these guys showed character throughout. They showed up every game. They led their younger teammates through a difficult season, but in the end, you know, they were still fighting right down through the last minutes there in the game against West. So my congratulations from my standpoint going out to the senior class. Great effort, and good luck moving forward to these kids.
Yeah, that's greatly said, Greg, and I absolutely agree with you. Coach, comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of just goes along with what I said. You know, in the weight room, these guys could have easily shut down in there, on the practice field. There's a lot of ways that these guys could have gone, and they chose to continue to work and stay positive, maintain their integrity, their character. Like I said, outside of their record, I couldn't have been more proud of them. And the record, I just hate it for them. I hate it for them more than anything. I know it's tough on them. It's tough on all of us. But life is going to hit us with some adversity. I thought these guys handled all of that just great.
So how do you as a coaching staff then, I mean, obviously – you know, we know that then I'm assuming that you'll meet separately with your juniors who now become the leaders of this team, but also you have, you know, sophomores in there, you have freshman team come up. How do you as a coaching staff really motivate these guys and say, hey, you know, we're going to get this, you know, obviously turned around? And because, you know, when you have a season like this, it's a one-win season.
Well, when you're that close in so many different games, you got to think, man, if we could just even dig a little bit deeper, go a little bit harder during the off season, do a little bit more. That's the approach we've taken. So we've already hit the off season with these guys. The clock's ticking. You know, first game is going to be around the corner, and we're not going to waste a second. So we're just going to push harder and demand more. That's the only thing I know to do.
So what's your message to the juniors then that will be taking over this team?
Buckle up. Mm-hmm. Buckle up.
Buckle up. I like that. That might be a nice T-shirt. Buckle up. I like that. All right. So the season's over. Obviously, you know, we're in the off season. And what you're already starting to do things. So talk a little about, as the head coach, what's your takeaway? Obviously, you've watched film. You've sat. You've recounted the season and everything. What's your takeaway of the season?
Just missed opportunities. I feel like it was a lot of just play here, play there. And I think it ended up taking a toll on us down the stretch there a little bit. You know, you're just in so many close games and come up short so many times. Like I said, a play here, a play there. That can weigh on you. So it was a tough season in that aspect, but at the same time, it's the truth. Now, besides the wins and losses, and those were hard, everything else was good. I enjoyed everything else about this football team and the senior bunch.
That's great to hear. So when you look ahead and you look at planning and starting to look at the 2024 season, what changes or what things do you think needs to happen from player standpoint, coaching standpoint, anything, how you guys work out, anything?
I'll tell you one thing, Doug, that's got to happen. You got to get bigger. That you were blessed with a lack of size this year. There's no question about it. And that showed up on both sides of the football. How's it look size-wise? Are you growing some guys? Are there some kids coming in that are working hard in the weight room to build up? What's your size standpoint look like going forward? Because that's going to be the number one thing you have to address.
Well, nutrition's a huge thing we're pushing. Even we've already started all of that, maintaining or really preaching to these guys how their nutrition needs to go. Because you're right, that's a big part of it, is getting bigger as far as – and you're talking to a bunch of high school kids, man, it's hard to convince some of these guys to eat and how they ought to eat and to gain the way they ought to gain. But that's been a big push already. And as far as our work in the weight room, I just assure you it'll be like no other season off season we've ever had here.
Coach, when you think about that's obviously you're talking about nutrition and weight room and stronger and getting bigger. From a scheme standpoint, offense, defense, do you think there's things from that side that need to change or that you're looking at? I know you're not going to divulge anything, or are there things that even from that that you would have done differently this year?
I don't know about done differently. You know, you kind of play to your – you try to think about our offense. We try to play to our strengths. You try to find out what we're good at, what we need to do, lean towards. One year we may be 37 pass to run. Other year we may be 70-30 pass to run. It just depends on our guys and what we're efficient at. And then defensively, same things, whatever scheme fits our players. So from year to year that can change. It will change. Looking back on this season, I know we worked like crazy to find our strengths and lean towards the ways that we felt was our strengths. And personnel-wise, we had to, you know, make adjustments throughout the year as well. I mean, that's our job as coaches. So looking back on it, I mean, sure, there's a thing here or there. You know, you always wish you'd have done a little bit different. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. You're going to have those type of things. But as a whole, you know, I think if we get a play here or a play there or a call here or a call there, I think our confidence level's changed, and I think we're playing at a different level later in the season.
Is there any point in time in the season when you looked at and you went back and looked at film and you felt that maybe that the team was a little predictable on offensive plays or defensive plays, or was it just execution and those type of little issues that happened that maybe caused some things?
You know, I don't know about predictable. I mean, we did some things to mix it up. You know, try not to we scout our own tendencies and we look at those things to make sure we're not too predictable. And if you're really good at something, you don't care if you're predictable or not, they still have to stop it. So I don't think we're necessarily predictable on our down and distance type stuff when we called what. The problem is, what I thought was, we just never really established it. We were never really able to establish a true identity offensively. And I think that hurt us. And that's got to be a big focus going into next year. We have to be able to establish an identity on who we are offensively.
You know, one thing when I look at on the offensive side of the ball, it we lived a lot on big plays. We did big plays. And I think the one thing that I'm sure you as a head coach and your whole coaching staff look for, and hopefully we can see next year, is those sustained drives. So one thing too, those sustained drives wear those defenses down on the other side, and it helps. But that's one thing that, you know, we've always, South has always been big on big plays, but then in the past we've been able to have those sustained drives. So, you know, what do you do to try to get more of that in the 2024 season?
Yeah, I think we have to just really work on establishing a new line of scrimmage up front. We have to become very physical and aggressive up front with our offensive line and then our backfield as well. We've got to find guys back there that are very aggressive and physical as well, you know, and through that offseason workout. You know, I think that a lot of the things that we're doing in there, creating that toughness throughout how we work out, that's got to be a part of that. And then the downfield blocking, all of it kind of works together. And then, of course, you have to know the scheme and be really well-versed there, you know. So, you know, and I thought this year with our running game, there was just almost something different from time to time. It would be, you know, we have a missed blocking assignment or, you know, just whatever it was. It just seemed like it was something. It was never just one big thing. It was always a little thing here or a little thing there that we couldn't ever quite get to completely mesh together and have that chemistry that you got to have.
Yeah, and so also, so now we move forward. We mentioned the off season, but is there really an off season now? I mean, you know, I remember back, you know, when you know I was young and playing. I mean, football ended, and you didn't do anything until it's time for, you know, for maybe spring or summer to start the football. But now with this, it seems like it's a 12-month grind. So talk a little bit about the process and what happens now between when you got to turn in equipment, you got to do everything, get your equipment refurbished and all that, and then what the players are doing.
Yeah, we're turning in equipment this week. So all the stuff's getting turned in. We're inventorying everything. We'll get our helmets sent off probably next week to get them reconditioned. But it is nonstop. We're in the weight room already getting after it. We with our seniors that want to go on and try to play at the next level, they're getting the highlight videos together. I'm going to go to a recruiting fair here at the end of this month out in Gwinnett and push those guys and talk to a lot of colleges about those guys that have a desire to move on to play. Then there's going to be a signing day later. We have the banquet. I mean, it's nonstop ordering stuff for the banquet. Just it's a nonstop deal. There's postseason meetings with the staff. There's, you name it. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, we had a board meeting Monday night and talking about the banquet and everything, which, you know, obviously that's a big deal. That's coming up earlier this year. I mean, obviously we normally do it in January, into January, like Martin Luther King, Jr. Weekend. But this year we're going to do it on December 10th and so what was the reasoning for that? I mean, I liked actually having it better and seeing that versus waiting so long.
Yeah, the reason for that was I just felt like the season was so far gone by the time we had our banquet. Not to say it's a bad thing, but you kind of almost have gotten so involved into the next bunch of guys coming around, you know, through your offseason stuff. And then you kind of have to shift gears and go back and relive the season that you finished that was a couple months ago. Right now it's just pressure on our minds, you know, as you're not quite as disengaged from it, and you get to celebrate those memories, and they're a little bit fresher.
Yeah, and the great thing about the banquet is that's, you know, that's to celebrate the whole team, but also the seniors, and, you know, get them out and, you know, and let them know how thankful everybody is. And it's a big crowd. I mean, it always is, and a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Our Booster Club does an incredible job. I think we probably have the best banquet in the whole country. We do a great job of recognizing all of our players, but especially our seniors. And thanking who needs to be thanked, from our Booster Club members to our moms to the dads, everybody that's involved in, you know, what it takes to run a program, and our coaches and their wives, and just everything. It's a big night. It's a big deal. It's a big night. But like you said, most importantly, it's a last chance to thank our seniors for everything that they've done and recognize them.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the thing is too, people don't realize it takes a lot of volunteers to make something happen. I mean, when I look at just a lot of people don't understand, like the pregame, just getting that set up. Kevin Bronner, who took the lead, you know, from Bill Yeager and did that. I mean, did an amazing job getting that all set up. And I'll be honest with you, he didn't have as much help as it. So that's one thing we're going to push next year is more help there. I mean, me in the press box, my guys, I mean, Scott Kugelman, J.J. Brinkerhoff, Rick Sears, and, you know, and Mark. I mean, it's just everybody is just, it's so great to have all these guys and to have them helping you and everything. And you know, and we can't do that without a slew of volunteers.
No doubt. This program wouldn't go anywhere without a lot of help. So, I mean, we're coming down from pregame nil, and I see Kevin out here sweating already, working like crazy, setting up the field. Just appreciate all his hard work. Our team moms have been incredible, doing all the pregame meals for our JV ninth grade, for our varsity guys, and bringing up the breakfast on Tuesday mornings that we started this year. Just people just volunteering and working like crazy. Carrie Mears been doing all this stuff over youth camp and, you know, getting smoothies ready for us. She's worked like crazy in all the years that she's been here. Just appreciate her so much. And just everybody. It just takes an army to put on something like this. And our kids have it good thanks to a lot of the people that volunteer. And like you said, I hope more people volunteer next year because we could use the help. And I'd even like to get a couple volunteers to help, like with the video stuff for us. Our coaches don't ever have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about finding people to do that. So maybe throw that out at the next Booster Club.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and you did. I know she never likes her name mentioned, but you mentioned one, Carrie Mearsman there. I mean, like I said, we have a ton of people on the Booster Club. G. Harvey's the president's done an amazing job. Carrie Mearsman, I can't even crack how many kids she's had play here. I mean, there has been so many. She's been a staple and been around here forever. And I'm telling you, there's nobody that works harder and nobody does more. And that's going to be, I've talked to her and I said, that's going to be different. You know, her, you know, obviously she's now going to move away from the board and everything. And that's going to be different not having somebody like her that's been around forever.
Oh, no doubt. No, having her, I mean, if I had a question about any kind of the things, you know, outside of football that went on, you know, I usually texted her and asked her how we do, you know, what are you going to do here? What do you think about this? And she's just been so helpful just in those things that we're going to miss the heck out of her.
Yeah, and I can tell you she's heavily engaged to make sure this banquet is as good as they've all been. That's for sure. Well, Greg, I think that covers it for me. Do you have any questions before
we wrap
this
done.
Up?
I'm not done. We haven't talked about anything as far as region goes. Coach, have you got a good look at the region? Who's going to fall into your region next year as everybody goes back to 6A and below?
Now, all that's happened so far is all of the schools have been put in their classification. So we know that we're going to be 6A. So you can see everybody who's in 6A, 5A, and all of that. That has come out. But now that you're going through some appeals, so there'll be a little bit of movement there. And then once those appeals are done, then the regions will be broken up. And then you go through appeals process again before it's finalized. I don't know when we're going to hear about the regions. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Greg, one thing that I can tell you that at least on the initial 65 teams that have been put into 6A, the two things that I see that the biggest difference is Milton moves out. They go to 5. And then North stays in with us. So other than that, Coach is right. We have to wait and see how the regions and, you know, stack up. But right now, that's where they're at.
Where is East Forsyth right now? What class are they coming in next year?
They went to 4A. So they are in 4A East is.
Okay. So, but you'll North is coming back in. Central, West, South, Lambert. Mm-hmm. Who am I leaving out?
Yep. Denmark.
So that's, again, we're coming back. That's 6. That's enough. That'll be easy to schedule for you, right? That's my next question about scheduling. How many games are you going to have to schedule outside of the region this year?
One more thing, too, Greg. That also depends, too. I mean, we assume that the region be what we think, but, you know, you never know if all of a sudden they do something cross with another team or something. And
you're right. North could end up with Gainesville in another region kind of the north side. Sure, something like that could happen, yeah.
It very well could.
Have you done anything with scheduling? Have you even looked into that direction yet? I know you told us last time I asked that you were focusing on the season. Now that it's over, have you taken that first step?
Well, we don't know how many we're going to need yet, so it makes it tough to not know how many you're going to need. So until the region alignments come out, nobody knows if you're going to need 1, 2, 3, whatever. Hopefully, it's not 5 like this last go around. That's for sure.
Right.
I can tell you. Coach and I have had a lot of conversations on that, and he said it is the toughest thing because you think about it, all these teams, they're trying to get games, and you're getting home and they're like, oh, I've already got this one. Then you got to fight about who's got a home game and who's got an away game. I can't imagine. So, but you are only responsible once the timing starts to get the non-region games, correct? The region games, those are scheduled for you and everything.
Yeah, the region games will all be scheduled. The home and away won't be given out yet. That'll be done after the region's established. But then all the non-region stuff, home and away, everything is an agreement between coaches.
Yeah, and hopefully they do like always. Now, normally, when once the season, it's established, you do it for 2 years, right? But maybe you just do the opposite.
Yes, all, you know, whatever you play the first year on the whole schedule, it will just flip home and away the next year. Yeah. Goes for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
And
all right,
one last thing, Coach. You're looking at now getting a fresh start. You got a lot of we're at a position where you're going to have a lot of playing time available. Tell us who you've identified. You know, everybody looks at quarterback and maybe they get more of the glory or less of the glory, whatever. A lot of attention on that position, but let's start there. Who do you like going in? Who you got that's going to be competing for that starting job next year at quarterback?
The guys that are returning, they're all going to compete for it. We'll play the best one. So that's how I'm going to approach it.
Is it a meritocracy? Is that what you're saying? Whoever comes off with the best
define
performance?
Define meritocracy to me, and I'll tell you whether that's it or not. I'll tell you, we're going to play the best one. I don't care about anything, but who gives us the best chance to win, that's who we're going to play.
I tell you what, I think Greg's fine. I think Greg's got his word of the day up there. I wasn't expecting that one to come in there.
I'm sorry. I am a linguist. What can I tell you?
There you go.
You're dealing with a non-legal.
Yeah, and it's like Greg and I. We'd be sitting in the stands. I mean, and we'd be going the game, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he'd look up at the moon. He'd go, "Do you know what kind of moon that is this today? Like a white?" I'm like, "White? I don't know." You know, so. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, Coach, I appreciate your brevity right there. Thanks for giving us some good insight.
Yeah, I really gave some nuggets there, didn't I?
Whoever performs is gonna come out on top. Well, we know you got some candidates that are waiting in the wings. You know, and I can't finish without mentioning Will Watkins. This kid, he led his middle school team to a title. He's coming up through the ranks right now. Let me just ask you, give us a little insight. How's his performance going? Is he looking like his big brother a little bit, or is he a different caliber player?
Well, his style is different than Ty's, for sure. Ty was a big brute, and he'd run you over. Will is real quick and can escape a lot of things. So their styles are different right now. But like I said, we're going to play the best one, period.
I got you. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. We're going to watch with great expectations as we get to the spring game, and we'll see how things shake out there. I'm sure they're all going to get a chance to play.
We'll see.
When it comes to spring, you're right. They will all play, and of course, that's what we look forward to. You look forward to seeing from one season like this to the spring, and then there's always those guys that you come out in the spring practice and go, "Where'd he come from? You know, what happened to him? Look at the size,
exactly,
of him,
exactly,
and the speed,
yeah,
and everything." So that'll be excellent. Hey, Greg, one more thing. Obviously I thanked all my guys in the booth and everything, but one person we need to thank as well is Mike Newsom. The great job he did this year. Obviously, he did every single game, home and away, when it came to the broadcast on ForsythSports365.com. So just want to, and did it, he did a great job, and he even did one game by himself. So it was a one man show. So big shout out to Mike, and thanks for all he did this year.
Yeah, there's no question. I want to echo that. Mike was phenomenal filling in for me. He was on the spot. He was right there every time. Whatever, you know, there were earlier in the season, there was a chance I'd be there, a chance not, and he waited till the last minute to allow me to make that decision, and finally just took it over because I've been, you know, a little under the weather. But it's been a beautiful thing to listen to Mike's call on a game. And thank you, too. You've been brilliant throughout the season as well, Doug. And I couldn't thank you enough for carrying your weight through this whole broadcast thing. And, Coach, you know, the bottom line here is your access that you allow us into your program is second to none. We couldn't have such a great broadcast team without the cooperation from you and the coaches, and giving us access and bringing it into the coach's corner and sharing that with us. Even though we're a little standoffish today, noncommittal about what's coming up in the future, that's totally understandable. But I want to thank you, as always, Coach, for giving us the access throughout the season.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the broadcast. I appreciate you guys doing this. And then you guys do a great job. The opportunity for people that can't make it to the game to hear it, I know that goes a long ways. Not everybody has that opportunity. And for us to have it here, I think that that's a big deal. And I'm very appreciative of it. I know the people that get to listen to the game are also appreciative of it. So thank you guys. Y'all do a great job. And hopefully we can continue this relationship for a long time.
I agree. And I can say from my side how enjoyable it is. And I like it. I like it much better. We're able to be in here and, you know, not over the phone and that thing, but also at, you know, as Greg said, I mean, you know, are you showing up and being here every Wednesday? It's a lot easier every Wednesday to do it, you know, when you're winning and winning and winning. It's a difficult conversation when the season's not going like it is. But so we appreciate, you know, nothing has changed in how you approached each week there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot easier when you're winning, no doubt about that. But either way, the show must go on, as they say. So we'll continue to have the show regardless.
Hey, Coach.
Well, we know for sure you guys are going to be working on it to get this turned around. And as you said, it started now. Greg, I know you were going to say something there.
Yeah, I want to see if I can get a little bit of a commitment from you, Coach, before we let you go. With the changes coming up next season in a variety of ways, can we count on you for a coach's corner a couple times through the off season as we head towards spring?
Yeah, sure. If you got something you want to talk about, I don't know what. I mean, we're going to be killing the weight room and working our butts off, but whatever you want to talk about, we can get together and talk about
it. I want to get your impressions on the region and once with the schedule set and all that. So just count on me giving you a ring, see what you're up to, okay?
I think, Greg, that's a great idea. I think once the schedule's set and everything, that'll even be, you know, pre-spring, and that's a good way, because obviously then we'll talk about that and then obviously do our spring again. But yeah, or if there's anything else that comes up in the meantime, or if we think if it's something we all need to get together and can spend 30 minutes on, well, then that's what we'll do.
All right, Doug, Coach, thank you guys very much. That's Doug Thomas, the voice of the War Eagles in the stadium, and the head coach of the War Eagles, Troy Morris. Thanks, guys, for joining us. This Coach's Corner has been a blast throughout the season, and we're going to put it on hiatus for a little bit. But as Coach just said, when we got things we want to talk about, he'll let us give him a ring, and we'll get into it. Look forward to spring ball. That is coming up, and these kids are going to be nourished and growing, and we'll make sure we get everything set up for you and see what kind of product we can put on the field next year. On behalf of Doug Thomas, on behalf of Mike Newsom, and on behalf of the head coach, Troy Morris, thank you all for joining us. This has been another Coach's Corner on Forsyth Sports 365.
I'm Greg Golden. We'll see you next time.